What's the longest running ham info service on 160 meters? We'll find out in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For September 1st, this is the Rain Report. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Just what is the longest running 160 meter amateur radio news service? It's the Gateway 160 meter radio newsletter out of Wentzville, Missouri. Its founder and producer is Vern Jackson, WA0RCR. Now, his name won't be familiar to a number of you. However, virtually every excerpt that you hear Rain run from the Dayton Hamvention forums is due to his efforts setting up the audio cabling in each of the four forum rooms to our recording devices every year since Rain's inception more than 28 years ago. So just how did this Missouri radio broadcast engineer get into amateur radio info biz? Vern sat down with Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, in the Rain booth last spring at the 2018 Hamvention.
What prompted you to start your news service way the heck back in 1979?
Yes, it all started out with a group of about six or eight amateurs meeting on 160 meters on Wednesday night. We all kind of knew each other. And all of us had or were interested in 160-meter operation. It's a neat band for local contacts with the ground wave characteristics. And we decided to start a net and decided, well, we talked about different nights and what was best for everybody, and somehow or another Wednesday night came out the best. So we started calling the net on Wednesday night. I think that was about February or so of 1979. And this proceeded through February, March, began on 1815 kilohertz. Stations on 160 meters due to Loren A at that time were limited in power. And if we wanted check-ins from other parts of the country, and especially from the East Coast, the West Coast, the Gulf Coast, or much of Canada, either stations couldn't operate at all or they were severely restricted on power after dark on the higher frequencies. But the lower 25 kilohertz was maximum for most areas, including our Midwest region. So we began on 1815 kilohertz. There was not a whole lot of activity on 160 in those days. The older rigs had 160 capability, but the newer current transceivers of the time, many of them did not. Even the previous 15 years or so did not have 160-meter capability. So it was relatively sparsely populated. We started the net, had about maybe eight locals checked in that night, and then we start getting check-ins from Ohio and Minnesota, Wisconsin, Arkansas, around the area, Colorado and what have you, and the net started growing, so we carried it every Wednesday night. Well, we had a situation that started taking place, so maybe a month and a half into the net on Wednesday night. We had some operators who I'm sure are silent keys now, one in particular that although he had been an AM operator in the early days, he had gone to sideband, and he did not like AM or AM stations. And since roughly half to two-thirds of us happened to have AM rigs, the rest had sideband. It was open to everybody. In fact, we had CW check-ins. He did not like AM, and I somehow or another became the net control. I had a fairly short but yet effective 43-foot high top-loaded vertical guide and base insulated, and ran it against as many radial wires as I could fit into our quarter-acre city lot. That together with water pipe ground, it worked pretty well. Had a pretty good signal. It was omnidirectional. And somehow or another, I was chosen for the net control station. Well, this persisted, and in about a month and a half of operation, we started having this other fellow and a buddy would call up a QSO on the frequency about the start of net time. And they would be on, and of course they didn't want anybody else on or near the frequency. It was interesting because the only time they operated this frequency is Wednesday night, beginning about 15 minutes before net time. And it later turned out when the net QSY'd in February of 1982 to the present frequency of 1860, when the bands were opened up by the FCC for full-time, full-power operation in the higher part of the bands, and Canadian restrictions were greatly received as reduced as the Loran A was being phased out in that part of the spectrum. We moved to 1860. That was planned about 2 months in advance. The plans are made that on April 2nd, I believe it was, of 1982, we would move to 1860. We did. And lo and behold, the same two operators began about on that frequency about 15 minutes before net time. And I thought, well, there has to be a solution to this. And it was early enough in the year that the SkyWave was propagating pretty well. So I thought, well, there has to be a solution. How do we occupy this a little bit longer into the daylight hours so that we can at least hold the frequency and meet? Because it became apparent that no matter where the net regularly met, these same two operators would be on that frequency, running full legal power. I thought, well, let's start a news service of general amateur radio news. We would pull information from local and regional announcements. We would pull information out of QST. I guess Westlink News was going at that time, but we were not aware of it. Anyway, it started with information that'd be sent in, announcements, interesting things that were taking place. I would read them live on the air for about 45 minutes or so before the start of the net time to basically hold down the frequency. And that seemed to work. That took care of it. I suppose these guys were busy listening to the news items. And that's how it kind of started. Well, then everybody thought it was a good idea. Let's keep doing it. So we continued on. And for about the first, I guess, 2 years or so, yours truly read the news items live, unedited, unrecorded. Well, at that time, I had a friend of mine that was doing field service work, living in St. Louis area, but he was doing field service work all over the Midwest, and sometimes he used to enjoy listening to the Westlink report on the local repeater in St. Louis. Well, when he was out traveling place to place, motel to motel, a lot of the local repeaters didn't carry Westlink at that time. And he always enjoyed listening to it. And he knew I was doing the service on the net on Wednesday nights. And he said, would there be any way that in addition to running your announcements live, that you could pick up, record Westlink, and play that out on the air so that him and others around the whole country could be listening in on 160 meters. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess so. So I started dialing into Westlink News, which at that time was limited by the length of a cassette tape to about 10 minutes. So we started picking that up, recording it, and we would play that out over the net on Wednesday nights along with our local and regional announcements, and it filled in nicely with worldwide amateur radio news in addition to those things of interest around the Missouri, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota type areas. It grew from that, and we continued to do that. Then later on, I think it was about 1988, I found out about a service known as the RP Report that Hap Holly KC9RP did out of Chicago on the old Bear Information Network. And, of course, that was Broadcast Employees Amateur Radio Repeater Group. And Hap ran a weekly commentary report, interviews, features, and it was very interesting. I thought, well, this is kind of neat. It's kind of like an amateur radio news magazine, if you will, featuring a particular topic rather than the general news of Newsline, or at that time, Westlink Radio.
You're listening to a conversation between Vern Jackson, WA0RCR, and Hap Holly, KC9RP, two longtime friends who have dedicated a number of hours each week making these rain reports possible. We'll learn more about Vern's Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter in a moment. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
So we started airing the RP report, I think, about a year or so after its inception, and continued to carry that. Well, of course, Westlink became Newsline, and the RP report became RAIN for Radio Amateur Information Network. To this day, we continue to carry those two services, plus many, many others. Well, I guess it was probably about 1986 or 87 that a local ham asked me, he said, you know, with the setup you've got with your antenna, at that time I had moved my station out to Wentzville in the fall of 84, and I was able to put in a full-size ground system, and I still use the 43-foot vertical. But he said, well, why don't you record some of this stuff and play it back-to-back and make a new service out at various times of the week. At that time, the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter, which tied it in with the net that had been going since July, I believe, 10th of 1979. But in the listener's mind, that tied in with what we had been doing all along. We started airing that at various times of the week so that people with varying schedules could still hear it. And that continued on for quite a few years along with our Wednesday night network. And we would play Newsline and RAIN and all the local announcements as part of the net. 1995 came around. The company I was working with for 21 and a half years downsized, and we were basically let go at that point in time. I started a new business. There was some demand for delivery services, truck delivery services. Big difference from electronics that I'd been working in, airborne radar, for 21 years or so. But I thought, well, why not? So that took me out of town, and there was two or three times that my wife Dottie filled in for me, called in the net. She wasn't too comfortable doing it, but she was a trooper and willing to give it a try. But after about three or four different weeks, within about a month and a half period of her having to call and run the net, she was not comfortable doing by herself. She said, you know, we're going to have to probably give this up. Well, I had a choice of not working on Wednesday nights or giving up the net. So with reluctance, I finally announced that I think it was October 15th or something like that of 1995, that would be the last regular scheduled Wednesday night net, but that I would continue airing amateur radio news on Saturday for a period of time as a bulletin service, because normally Saturday I was most of the time in the late afternoon, evening, not working. So we continued that on Saturday. And that continued on to this present day. It expanded out. I had a local ham I knew very well, lived right in the community. And he said, well, why don't you just put this back to back and run it all Saturday and into Saturday night, so that people, whether in the local area or whether in Biloxi, Mississippi or Phoenix, Arizona, could tune in and listen to the service. And I thought, well, okay, why not? I knew we had a lot of Canadian listeners that checked into the net, so why not? That's how it started. The early days, we used cassette tapes. We had two dual cassette decks into a mixing console. By flipping tapes and inserting tapes along the way, we could carry a multitude of programming, all airing back-to-back. C-band satellite became available, and many amateur radio services began to feed satellites. Beginning in 1995, we put in a satellite receiving system. We started getting the Houston AMSAT net. We carry that to today. And back when the satellite services would sometimes die, they would continue the net by feeding long-distance phone line. They'd call the phone number of my station. We'd put it through the phone patch, and the net started to be distributed to nationwide on 1860 kilohertz on Saturday nights when they called the net. And at that time, they called it on Saturday nights, and it worked out great because people could tune in, hear it live. Many people tuned it in on a receiver and then fed their local 2-meter repeater for the locals with the HTs, car, you know, 2-meter rigs, etc. And we started distributing the Houston AMSAT net. This week, an amateur radio came along, I think it was about 1996, and We picked that up on satellite, started airing that live. There were some nationwide teleconference networks taking place. They went out of a location in Minnesota. You dial in a long-distance number, and I think there was a total of maybe 20 ports that were available that you could dial in and take an audio feed. And there were some wide area repeater systems that took the feed. I dialed in and took the feed to WA0RCR. And had it on the air on 160 meters, 1860. We had listeners from all over the Midwest. We had people in Nebraska that were tuning it in and putting it out on their 2-meter repeaters. They had call-in numbers that those west of the Mississippi called a certain 800 number, and those east called another one. They had, I think it was Jim Hendershot, Bill Pasternak, and different ones that conducted this thing, and it was kind of a nationwide call-in talk radio show on amateur radio concerning amateur radio items of significant concern to the amateur community. And those would sometimes run two and a half hours. And, of course, we carried the whole thing live on 1860, and it was kind of a wide area service for that. So that continued. C-band satellite with This Week in Amateur Radio began about that time, and we still carry that to today. It's fed now. Everything basically is moved to MP3 formats that you download and record in MP3. Or in our case, we take the MP3 audio from one computer, feed it through our mixing console, put in the intros and outros and the station IDs at the proper time, send it into a second computer, record it into a CD quality 44.1 kilohertz wave file, 16-bit weight file, monaural, of course, because it saves space and we don't have stereo. I'm running an automation system that we can drag the various program segments in at the proper times, put them into the rotation, and we can build our whole bulletin schedule around these various wave file segments. So we've gone from cassette tape to mini disc, which was a far better medium because it was all basically digital except for the analog portion. Now we've gone to recording everything in wave file, playing it out through an automation system through the computer. And of course we also monitor the National Weather Service, and in the three counties that we primarily serve with a strong ground wave that works day or night, even in the middle of a thunderstorm, if emergency weather information comes through, we put that on the air live. The idea there is if somebody is listening to the bulletin on their radio while they're working on a project downstairs, and the kids are upstairs playing a video game or whatever, and there's severe thunderstorm or tornado warning or something like that for the area, we want them to be aware of it, and we also want them to be aware of it to go upstairs and tell the kids, hey, get to the basement. So that's something that I feel a responsibility for, that somebody, we can't cover a big area and we don't have enough signal to cover the whole United States. We'd have weather warnings all the time, but we do try to cover about a 3 or 4 county area with pertinent local emergency weather information. That's done all the time. Anytime the net's on, that is. Obviously, people aren't listening when the bulletin's not on, so there's no point in putting it on the air. That's kind of how it began, Hap, and it's transpired. We've been doing it now, gosh, since 1979. We'll have 39 years this July 10th. And I look back in the logs, and that's when we first ran the Gateway 160-meter net bulletin service. It continues to this day.
And that's the story behind the evolution of the Gateway 160-meter radio newsletter from its founder and longtime producer, Missouri radio broadcast engineer Vern Jackson, WA0RCR of Wentzville, Missouri. This weekly ham radio info service airs Saturday afternoon into the wee hours Sunday on 1860 kilohertz from Wentzville, Missouri. Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with Vern in the Rain booth during the 2018 Dayton Hamvention. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights reserved. This hamcast usually updates Saturday mornings on the rainreport.com and Saturday evenings via WTWW shortwave from Lebanon, Tennessee on 5085 kilohertz. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Mid-South studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!